Welcome to today's podcast, Designed for Life. This is the third in the series titled, How to Avoid an Aimless Life. Life wasn't created at a whim, nor should it be lived that way. This podcast is taken from Pastor Jim Irwin's Sunday message. It is designed to strengthen the believer's walk and those who have not come to faith to recognize God has designed life to be lived with purpose. I am Pastor David, the assistant pastor at Bethel Gilead Community Church, also known as the Church on Block Road. We are going to be looking at Chart Your Course, Get On Course, and Staying On Course. Here is Pastor Jim with this week's message.
If you have a bulletin and would like to turn to the inside cover, you'll see the outline behind me or above on the overhead, as well as an outline in your bulletin. I'd like to finish up this morning with a set of messages that I suggested would kind of set us up or gear us up for this new year. How to avoid an aimless life. You know, when your life is over, will it matter that you were ever born? Just think about that for a second. Someone else will have your job. Someone else will be driving your car. Somebody else will be living in your house. Someone else will have all those things that you and I work so hard to attain in life. When you reach your deathbed and look back over the years, what will you think then? What regrets will come to mind at that time? What conclusions will you make about what really matters most in life? And will you die, as we saw in the first week of this session or series, with a sense of integrity, a sense of fulfillment and satisfaction, or will you die in despair? Because you missed what life was all about. When you stand before God someday on Judgment Day, what will He say to you? I'm going to suggest He won't ask if you had a lot of fun in life. He won't ask if you were good at sports. I doubt whether He will ask if you made a lot of money or if you found the good life. Nice car and house. I think God's going to ask, what difference did you make for the person and cause of Jesus Christ? Somebody once said, I counted dollars. God counted crosses. I counted gains, but He counted losses. I counted my worth by things gained in store. Oh, but He sized me up by the scars that I bore. I counted honors, I sought degrees, but He wept as He counted the hours on my knees. And I never knew till one day near the grave how vain are the things that we spend life to save. Jim Elliot, martyr to the Aka Indians back in the 1960s, missionary, said, he is no fool who gives his life for what he cannot keep in order to gain what he cannot lose. A couple of weeks ago, I cited a verse from Psalms 127 and verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor, remember the verse, labor in vain. What a sad day that would be to look back and realize I labored in vain. My life was empty, meaningless. It was aimless. And so I suggested that you and I, in order to avoid an empty life, we need to take aim at what God has for us in life. To do that, we need to look behind us. Analyze the things that we did well or not. We did that with this past year. Regrets and rewards. But thankfully, God has given us a way to remedy regret as Christians. This is through the forgiveness of sins and repentance. And in fact, he's given us a way to rectify or restitute regrets in many cases. That is to bring into the present and the future things which I did wrong or did not do in the past and redo them again. When your life is over, will it matter that you were ever born? How to avoid an aimless life. Then I suggested that you and I look into the future and we determine what is it that I am willing to risk for. It's going to cost you something. There's no free lunch, as much as we would like there to be. Living is risky business. Living is also life-threatening. There's danger. There's disease. There's death out there. Have you noticed that? And every day you and I have to determine, what am I willing to risk in order to live my life in a way that ideally and ultimately honors God? Today I'd like to look into the future for just a moment. To do that through the eyes of faith and to determine, what is it that God would have me to do? And let's just keep it in the context of the new year in 2021. Boy, I hate to ask it. How many of you have big plans for the new year? How many of you are a little hesitant to make any plans the way everything's been canceled here as of late? Do you know what? God is a planner. He's got a plan. He always acts on purpose. There's no happenstance or accident as far as God is concerned. There might be with you and I, occasionally, if not frequently. But God says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, to give you a future hope. He has a plan for not only the world, but for your life. We call that his will. And part of your assignment and my assignment is to ascertain, it's to determine, God, what is it that you would have for me to be and to do in terms of your plan for my life? A couple years ago, I was studying the book of Isaiah, and I found the only verse I've ever found in the Bible that rhymes. Now, you can call me to account here. You might know of one, but I thought, this sounds like a song. Somebody's got to write a song with this verse because it rhymes. At least it does in my version, and I don't want to hear it in your version. You don't mess up the song. Isaiah 32:8. The noble man makes noble plans, and by his noble deeds, he stands. You like that? Can you hear the tune? The noble man makes noble plans, and by his noble deeds, he stands. Kind of sounds like a Jewish medley, doesn't it, Rick? Minor chord. The noble man makes noble plans, and by his noble deeds he stands. Now, I can't find any other verses that go to the next part, so I'm working on that. Give me a couple of months, maybe a year or two. What kind of noble things are you considering for 2021? Now, if you look at the verse, it's the noble man who makes noble plans. Nobility flows from what I do is as a result of who I am. I'm first a human being, not a human doing. And so are you. And so I think always part of our focus ought to be on, what kind of a person do you want me to be in the days ahead? I'm going to suggest a series here that'll take us probably up to summer, looking at some Old Testament saints. 21 great saints. Why 21? Well, because it's 2021, and I was trying to come up with something that kind of fits with the year. So I'm working on it right now, scouring the Old Testament. Who are the top 21 guys? You may have your pick. I'm going to take mine. But I'm going to ask and answer the question each week when we get together and study these individuals. What kind of a person does it take to make an impact? on a degenerating society. God's already told you. Got all kinds of noble people, men and women, that I think would be worth our while to look at and ask ourselves, what was it about their life that made a difference in their generation? And God, could you do something similar, possibly, in me, and as a result, through me? You have your Bible. Why don't you turn over to the book of Proverbs? Proverbs chapter 16. Therein lies several passages that relate to this theme of planning, as it looks, as it relates to, I should say, your and my present situation, looking ahead to the new year. Proverbs 16, verse 1 through 3. There's others here, but let me just center in on those several verses. To man belong the plans of the heart. Is it okay to make plans? You better believe it. I think it's godly. As I suggested, God has plans. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the mind of man the things that God has planned for those who love him. He's got a plan for us. And I think he wants us to join us to discern what's my part in the plan, in your generic overall will. Where do I contribute? From the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. He will guide you as I step out, as you step out on faith. I think this is what God wants me to do. In some cases, God will begin to order your steps. Verse 2, all a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. We'll go there for a second this morning, and we're going to ask this simple question. Why do this? Why do this? What's the motive or the incentive? And is it worthy? But finally, verse 3, commit to the Lord whatever you do. Next line, and your plans will succeed. I think God wants you and I to succeed in life, in making noble plans, and by our noble deeds, as Isaiah suggests, we stand. Even in our generation, at a time when there is so much turmoil and uncertainty, giant question mark looming over the horizon. Go back and look at Isaiah's day. It was no different then. Very ominous. And God calls his faithful people in the midst of a tumultuous situation, upheaval, to stand. And in this case, even to make plans. And I think he'll bless us as we do. You want to avoid living an aimless life? Ask God what he's about and plan accordingly. Chart your course. Be sure to enlist Jesus Christ if you chart a course for 2021. Enlist him as captain of your ship. That makes sense to me, doesn't it to you? Let him guide, but start moving forward. You know, planning flows from several things. Kind of a technical message this morning. I hate to say that, but I think there's a couple of simple cues that will help us structurally to make decisions about our lives. Values, goals, and priorities. A value is something that I attribute worth to, obviously. It's what I believe is important. Excellent assignment for you. What are your top values in life? What are the top five things you believe are the most important aspects of life? I think that's crucial to be able to identify those things in order not to live an aimless life. Because I want to take aim at the bullseye. I want to live out my values, and I believe you do as well. On the basis of values, then, I can establish goals, objectives, ideals. What is it I want to do? I value my marriage. I value my family. What kinds of things can I do this year and accomplish in order to live out that value? You value your faith in God. I love that. Faith, family, freedom. Those are the big three. then start with your faith. And say, God, I know that you are more precious than silver, more costly than gold. Nothing I desire. Well, I've got lots of desires. Is that true? Because God might be telling you tomorrow morning or midweek, I thought you said nothing you desire compares with me. How's come I can't get a half hour out of you? That won't fly in marriage, will it, guys? And it doesn't fly with God either. Values, goals, in terms of what I want to do to live out my values, and then priorities, which in my opinion are sequential steps. That's how I'm going to use that. They're actions, activities that lead towards the accomplishment of goals and help me to live out my values. 2021, what matters most to you? I say make your plans accordingly. 1996, I came to this church. And I determined that I was going to uphold a high value, in high standing, the Word of God. That would be my primary emphasis in entering this congregation. I wanted to emphasize and model how important this book is. My ideal, I think, for any church is that it be a Bible church. The Word of God, it's authoritative for life and doctrine. That's true in the church, it's true in your life, or should be, as well. And with that value, then, I set a simple goal. Get people into the Word so that God's Word can get into them. And almost invariably, Sunday in and Sunday out, my opening line was, take out your Bibles and turn to. I was criticized early on by a little Presbyterian gal who just wanted me to know that that's not how you preach. She says, we don't need Bible studies. We want to hear preaching. I had no idea what she was talking about. And I'm quite sure that I wasn't intelligent enough to comply with her ideal of preaching. But in my opinion, there's nothing that trumps the Word of God. The Word of Jim has no bearing here. God has only promised to bless His Word. And to the degree that we get into His Word so that it gets into us, hey, that's an excellent goal, isn't it? We're stepping up to our plan here to go through the Bible, read through the Bible this year, 21, 22, read the Bible through. Old Testament chart. It's out in the paper, or it's out in the lobby there this morning. You'll have one of these. We're going to make this available. I'm going to shoot the gun on the 31st of January, so we launch February 1st, just before the groundhogs come out. Okay, we'll get a start together. If you want to jump start the thing, you can grab one of these and go ahead and start. But I'm going to line up our spiritual disciplines with each week's reading, and we'll take three or four chapters a week from the Bible, 15 or 20 minutes a day. That is if your goal is to know God's Word, to know God through His Word. Because it's through the revelation of God, His Word, that we understand that Jesus Christ is Lord, the Lordship of Christ. It's through the revelation of God's Word that we understand the body of Christ, what it means to be part of His body on earth, the church. It's through the revelation of God that we understand the cause of Christ, the reason for which God has placed you on planet earth, to fulfill His cause and purposes. You got to get into the Word of God. So we'll kick off here in a couple of weeks with a through the Old Testament reading, and the charts are out there. I'm going to promote that for a couple of weeks, and I'm really hoping to bring a good group of people along with us. If you missed my message last week, I suggested that someday you're going to die and go to heaven, and you're going to run into one of those Old Testament prophets, Zedekiah, and he's going to say, hey, nice to meet you. Did you happen to read my book? And as I said last week, you cannot lie in heaven. You're not going to beef your way out of that one. So you need to be happy to see him and say, you know what? It was a little light reading, but yeah, it wasn't bad. I liked chapter 3. 2021. You know, I was in South Carolina this summer. Family snuck down there to hang out with Kim's family for a week. And we went bowling. South Carolina was far different than Michigan at the time. We went bowling. And I realized something when we were bowling is that I am not a professional. In fact, I'm not even an amateur. I'm not a good bowler. That was accented by the fact that they had, you know, they were sterilizing everything, and they only had one ball left for, we split into teams, the guys versus the gals, and the guys' team got one ball. And my fingers wouldn't fit in the holes. Have you ever tried to throw a ball that's too small for your fingers? Every time, I just about pulled my shoulder out of joint. Every time I went to release that thing, you'd hear a, you know, as it's going down the aisle, and you never knew which direction it was going to fall. The good bowlers, you never see those guys over there searching the rack and looking for the size. They bring their own balls with them. They have a bag with a bowling ball in it, and it fits exactly so that when they throw that ball, it does exactly what they want it to do. I think God wants us to be a church like that. We make Bibles available under the seats just in case you forget yours or you spilled coffee on it just before you left. Bring your own and use it in a way that God will speak to you personally through his word. How do I make sure that I'm not living an aimless life? I think I need to determine what matters most in life. I need to set goals accordingly, and I need to prioritize things that will lead me towards those goals. The goal of reading through the Bible is going to take prioritizing time on a regular basis. We're going to do it on a five-day-a-week basis, give time for catch-up on the weekends. But I need to take time every day to sit down and read as a priority in my life. University of Harvard years ago did a study of outgoing seniors. They surveyed this class and determined that they would follow them from 10 to 20 years and kind of determine the impact that their education had on them. And they looked at all these different aspects of these seniors and they launched them at graduation. And 20 years later, they went back and they followed up with all of those alums. And they found that back when the survey originated, when they were still in school, 3% of the graduating class of Harvard that year had written goals. 3% of the students had written down a plan or goals for their life. And when they did their accounting and added up the income generated by these Harvard grads, in this instance, in case, they found out that the 3% were worth more financially than the 97% combined. Don't underestimate the power of the written word. There's a reason why God gave you his word and he put it in a book. And something happens to you and I when I or you sit down and we write out ideals. We envision what could be. We make plans. We set goals. And we identify the priorities, those things that we must prioritize in order to make this happen. And we do it in writing. Somebody said, plan like you're going to live for 30 years, but then live like you're going to die in 30 days. That's probably the right combination, isn't it? Chart your course. We are promoting, you'll see it in the bulletin in the backside today, again, the breakaway, a little spiritual retreat, just you and God. If you didn't get around to doing this last year, I'm giving you a second shot at it. These will be available as of next week. My recommendation is that you cut yourself out a half a day and you go somewhere. You get away for a half a day to be alone with God. And this is a self-guided retreat. There's some verses to look up. There's some writing to do, quite a bit of introspection, and even some planning as it relates to this year and the future. I can't underestimate how important that could be for some of you, how timely that might be to take a half-day breakaway. Chart your course. Get on task. The plan will work if you work the plan. You've heard that one, haven't you? And the sad reality is a lot of people have great plans, great ideals in life. They just never get around to following up, deciding to do what they thought they would do. It's too easy to make plans and put them off for other things. Some people have two sets of values in life. What they say is important, and then what they do. In contrast, somebody said your talk talks and your walk talks. But your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Your talk talks and your walk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Did you get it? I think you need to talk the talk, but we all understand that we better walk the walk. To get on course, to get on task. How do I do that? I think, again, I need to check my motives. Why do this? I'm looking ahead into the new year, and I'm deciding what are some areas that I want to focus on. One, two, three things where I can set some goals. Last week I suggested, or 2 weeks ago, I suggested the acronym CAR, C-A-R, character, activities or accomplishments, and thirdly, relationships. I think that's a good little summary of three different aspects of your life that you ought to consider. Kind of a person do I want to become in terms of my character? Activities and accomplishments. What do I want to do with my time? And thirdly, and possibly as important as the other two, kind of relationships will I cultivate this year? Get on task. Determine why this is significant. What's my incentive or motive for doing this? And then write them down in a planner. I don't know what kind of day planner, or I know they've got them online now, these little handhelds. Something that works for you, a system that works for you. I am forever indebted to my mother-in-law, who 30 years ago gave me a Franklin Day Planner. Anybody heard of or seen the Franklin system? It's a little pricey. She bought it all for me. She set me up. Then I got to pay for it. For the last 30 years, I've had to refill that thing. But I'm indebted. Because as Franklin Covey organization says, you're not time managing, you're life managing. You're determining the time frames in which you will live out your life on a daily, on a weekly, on a monthly, on an annual basis. And I think all of us need to have some kind of system that we can write things down. I can record not only my goals, as I suggested, but also I can double check the priorities this week. When and what am I going to do in order to live out my values and reach out towards my goals? Schedule your time. Pace yourself. You're going to need some self-discipline. And then that is, by the way, a fruit of the Spirit. That may be a character quality that's lacking in all of this. And that may be a goal for 2021, is to say, Lord, you know, there's an area in my life I don't feel like I've got the discipline that I need. And maybe this is the year that you're going to rearrange my heart in a way that I can accomplish things that I know are important that I really do want to do. I had a professor in college who always used to say, fit the task to the time. Fit the task to the time. How many of you have noticed there's never enough time to do the things you ultimately want to get done? Or you get halfway and whoops, we got to get out. So for me, that's been a helpful, especially because I set my time every week. I'm sure I could be a better preacher if I spent more time at it, but I haven't got the time. I've got 8 to 10 hours scheduled for sermon prep. And I fit my task every week to that time. I apologize if it doesn't get done or isn't as good. Because there are other things that are also important in my life that deserve my time and my attention. Otherwise, you and I get sucked into, boy, work is great at this, isn't it? Doing, getting things done, and to the inattention of perhaps loving, reaching out or caring for people that God has placed in our lives. Pace yourself. Let me give a word to all you professional procrastinators. I don't know, are there any procrastinators in here? You know, people procrastinate basically for two reasons. One, because they're lazy. Why do today what I can put off till tomorrow? You know, that one, the last minute to get things done. Probably in most of your cases, it's because you're perfectionists. Perfectionists tend to procrastinate because they're waiting for the right time when everything's just right. Has anybody seen that time this past week? What world do you live in? This is an imperfect world. The time will never be perfect or right. So you got to make do with the time. Otherwise, you pass off something to tomorrow that should have been done today. He was going to be all that a mortal should be tomorrow. No one should be kinder or braver than he tomorrow. A friend who was troubled and weary, he knew, who'd be glad for a lift and needed it too. On him he would call to see what he could do tomorrow. Each morning he stacked up the letters he'd write, and he thought of the folks he'd fill with delight tomorrow. It was too bad indeed. He was busy today. He hadn't a minute to stop on his way. More time he would have to give others, he'd say, tomorrow. The greatest of workers he would have been. The world would have known him had he ever seen tomorrow. But the fact is, he died and faded from view. And all that was left when his living was through was a mountain of things he intended to do tomorrow. You and I need to determine, God, what is it that you want me to do today? And do it now. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow may never come. Get on task. Chart your course, and then finally stay the course. This is really the maintenance element of this morning's message. How do I avoid the pitfalls, the detours, the distractions, especially for some of us who are ADD? You know what I mean? There's just so many things vying for your attention, trying to occupy your mind at one moment. It's not easy to stay on task. We need to cultivate consistency and perseverance. It's a long-distance race. And your task daily and mine is, as we're told in Galatians 5:25, to keep in step with the Spirit. I've got to defer to God sometimes and say, I don't know what to do here. So many options or opportunities, possibilities. God, just show me what's reasonable, what's right in my case. And when necessary, when those winds aloft tend to blow you off course, just make mid-course adjustments. Even when failure occurs. This young man, when he was 7 years old, was forced out of his home because of legal issues with his family. And so he was called to go to work to help support the family. 2 years later, his mother died at age 9. At age 22, he lost his job as a store clerk. He really wanted to go to law school, but was denied because his education was not sufficient. At age 23, he went into debt to become a partner of a small store. At age 26, his business partner died, leaving him with a huge debt that took years to repay. At age 28, after courting a young girl for 4 years, he asked her to marry him, and she said, no. At age 37, on his third try, he was finally elected to Congress, but 2 years later, he failed to be reelected. At age 45, he ran for the Senate and lost. At age 47, he failed as a vice presidential candidate. At age 49, he ran for the Senate again and lost. Finally, at age 51, he was elected President of the United States of America. Imagine how many people have been motivated, inspired by this humble, rumpled, suffered man who signed his name simply A. Lincoln. Some people get all the breaks, don't they? I don't know what kind of opposition you're facing. I don't know what kind of challenges or struggles you deal with on a daily basis. If you're like me or us, we're probably running about average. I do know one thing. God wants you to live a life that's significant, that's satisfying, that's meaningful. He wants you to avoid living an aimless life. And with his help, you can chart a course day in and day out, year in and year out. You can get on task. And with his help, you can stay the course in spite of obstacles, whatever they may be. Back in 1996, when I came to this church, I basically set three goals. I didn't publish these. These were personal goals for this church. But I share them with you this morning because thankfully I think God has worked in spite of many times myself. He's worked in and through us to establish a healthy congregation, to reach out to our community, and then to be a catalyst for other churches, to encourage other Christians to come along as well. 1997, we wrote up what has been a guiding statement. Some of you, a couple of you were there. Our mission statement, it's inscribed not in stone, unfortunately, but in oak by an Amishman from Shipshewan. It's on the wall in the lobby if you've never read it. It's our mission statement. In fact, our mission statement is published as of 1997 on just about every bulletin that we make on the inside there, second cover. We honor God through regularly assembling together to worship him as Lord. We uphold the Lordship of Christ, as I suggested, to study and obey his word. We believe that the Bible is authoritative, and we respond accordingly. To attend to the needs of his people, we think that the cause of Christ is, or the people of Christ, the body of Christ is principal. But we also believe in the Great Commission, the cause of Christ. When we leave, we go out commissioned as Christ's representatives to a needy world. Have we arrived? Are we there yet? No, like you, all of us are pursuing flying goals. They're moving, aren't they? And in some cases, we may never fully reach our objectives or goals. But as somebody said, if you shoot for the stars, you may not hit the stars, but you'll probably land pretty high. And so you and I think, consistently need to turn to God and say, Lord, what's worth doing? What is it you would have for me, or what would you have for us? And by faith, how can we set a course? How can we get on task? And how can we stay the course? By faith and through your grace, so that our lives finish strong. Every 4 or 5 years, I get a chance to speak to the graduates at Bronson High School. They have a baccalaureate service as part of their graduation ceremony. Local pastor who will address the students and their families. And I don't know, I've done that 4 or 5 times. I always use the same message every year. I haven't seen a need to change it every year, every several years. I always pull out an arrowhead. In fact, as part of that message, I give an arrowhead to every one of the graduates that year. And I tell the story of picking up field points. How many of you ever found a field point, an arrowhead? Some of you farmers out there in the ground. I found a couple of these over the years. And I always invariably ask myself 3 questions. And I'd like to leave you with these 3 questions this morning. Because I think they have to do with the kind of person that God is molding you and me into. The kind of person he wants us to be and the kinds of things he wants us to do. I ask myself, kind of man was he? The man who made this or shot this. What kind of man? Was he an ancient Ute? Was he a near recent Ottawa or Potawatomi? What kind of man was he? I asked myself, 2, what was he shooting at? Was he shooting at game, maybe a deer or turkey? Or was he defending himself from a marauding bear when he launched the arrow? Or perhaps was he part of a tribal skirmish in a battle? What was he shooting at? And then number three, did he hit it? If someone were to find a relic of your life 100 years from now, and they were to pick it up and look at it and ask themselves, what kind of person was he or she? I wonder. What was he or she aiming at in life? What was the point or the purpose of their life? What were they aiming at? And then thirdly, did they hit it? I think God wants you and I to aspire to, as C.T. Studd said, great things. Ask great things of God and then attempt great things for God. I want to invite you to join me after the message this morning next door. I'm going to unravel what we see as our second kingdom assignment, part two. And we're going to talk about care notes. We're going to look at what is, I think, an excellent opportunity, a strategy. Not to get people to come into our church, by the way. It's to get people in our church to go out, to reach out to others in a neat and creative way. I think what will be meaningful for all of us, the kingdom assignment, care notes. I want to invite you to join me if you could, if you're able. I'll have a cup of coffee in hand. We'll look at that next. Where you're seated this morning, why don't you pray? And let's ask God to give us a sense of meaning, of purpose, of direction, and destiny to avoid meaningless, empty, aimless lives. So that as a result of our lives, things will be different. Things will be better. And that because of God working in and through us. Lord, I thank you that your word tells us that you have a plan and a purpose for our lives. There's a reason why we live in our generation, this time. And each of us needs to and wants to better understand what that could be and the ways that you can work in and through us, in our character and through our activities, where our jobs or occupations might be, and in and through relationships that you've given us. Help us, Lord, to look to you as a good captain of the course of our lives, to get on task, possibly to step out and risk doing hard things or new things, and in your words, even great things, and to do that for the sake of the kingdom of God. We all know that it's only because of you and by your mercy and grace that we could accomplish anything of lasting value or significance. But we also believe that that's exactly the point of our lives. And so we're asking you to individually, one by one, to show us who you would have us to be and become, and kinds of things you would have us to do. And who are the people around us that we could better serve because you first served and loved us? I pray that for myself, and I pray that for my friends this morning. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for spending time to listen to today's podcast, the third in the series, How to Avoid an Aimless Life. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, let me encourage you to donate to this ministry. You will find a donate tab at BethelGilead.org. Until then, go out and experience the design for life as God's ambassadors commissioned to a world in need of the gospel. God bless you.